Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for this 12th Sunday after Pentecost is our gospel text, John 6, verses 41 through 51. But I'm going to be focusing on 44 through 46. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. This is the word of the Lord, and so we pray. Sanctify us, O Lord, by thy truth. Thy word is true. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And they shall all be taught of God. That is an interesting statement that Jesus makes. He is quoting the Old Testament, of course, Isaiah 54, verse 13. But then he says, not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. So how then can anyone be taught by him? I know that some claim God speaks to them directly. We won't go there today, but this is a Trinitarian question. Now, how about this part of the text? Verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. How does this relate to learning? This is a sacramental question. Some have tried to solve this by saying that John 6 is not about the sacrament of the altar. I think they are missing something. They would have to say then John 3 is not about baptism. But that is another sermon. What Jesus is telling them and us is that being taught of God is being fed by God. What we imbibe, what goes into us from him, and that is life, eternal life, in fact. You will notice that there are a few places in the Old Testament, Ezekiel especially, and in the revelation given to St. John, that there is this talk about eating God's word, a scroll, in fact. We have a prayer, the collect for the word, in our hymnals that shows we do touch upon and know a little about this. The prayer begins, Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may such wise hear them, read, mark, and inwardly digest them. Now the new hymnals have changed it to say, take to heart instead of inwardly digest, which takes us away from the idea of eating God's word. I think that was a mistake that they changed it. Okay, this is understandable enough, but what about the Trinitarian question? St. Paul answers this when he says that the entire Godhead dwells in Christ bodily. So to hear Jesus is to hear God the Father. The writer to the Hebrews puts it this way, long ago, God spoke to our ancestors by the prophets at different times and in different ways. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Okay, but Jesus ascended into heaven. He is no longer among us preaching on the hillsides or beside the sea, right? But did you ever notice that St. Matthew does not have an ascension narrative? He did this on purpose. Here's a hint. Listen to these last words that Matthew records in his gospel. They are the words of Jesus. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Matthew is not denying the ascension of Jesus. Okay, so then what is he saying? Matthew is saying that what Jesus promised him and the other 10 disciples and us I am with you always. Remember, Jesus rose to fill the universe. In his human body, he did this. And this here is part of that universe. I'm talking about us and all these things around, all that was around before and all that is around always. That's part of the universe that he created. And also, he has given us his Holy Spirit with the water and the word. We are thereby covered by Christ, crucified with Christ, and united with him in his death, and united with him in his resurrection too. We are baptized into Christ. In other words, we have him and he has us always. We imbibe him. We breathe him in. We eat the word, the eternal logos that is God, who became flesh and dwelt among us, who lived a perfect life for those who wouldn't. He means me and you. It was he who carried our sins, the sins of the whole world, to the cross. It was he who paid for them there, where the Father turned his face from him there, where the Spirit left him there, where God's the Son died for us and was buried for us and then rose for us, who then ascended on high, but also filled all things, and so remains, which means with us to the end. That's Isaiah's name for the one who is coming, the one who he said would come, God with us, to the end. And then, worlds without end. But for us now, here, for us to eat, to drink, to inwardly digest, to learn of him, the Father, yes, and the Son, yes, and the Holy Ghost, to be filled by him and of him, full of the Holy Ghost who speaks his words, the words that the Father gave to the Son who spoke and taught and handed down to us, his word that he caused to be written down through men like us with human words that are still filled with him, still filled with his Spirit, still inspired, still living, still able to kill and raise up, still the power unto salvation, imbibe. So is there need to speak of the sacramental question? That is like trying to separate the Godhead, the three persons, yet one God. Or the two natures in Christ. He is man and he is God. He is the Word and he is the Son. And yet then Isaiah also refers to him as the everlasting Father. What about the Spirit? He, God the Spirit, always proceeds from the Father and the Son to creation, to us, making alive and alive again. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And he comes, speaking about God the Son, pointing to the Son where he is for us, for life, abundant, everlasting life, raised up to look upon and live. Yes, he is the bread in the desert, and he is human flesh and blood. Both came down and comes down and is here, still here, from heaven to us and for us. Yes, he is the bread in the desert, and he is human flesh and blood. Both came down and comes down and is here, still here. We eat this, his heavenly words, and we eat his earthly body and bread. He gives us his blood shed for the forgiveness of sins, and we drink it, but also wine. The life is in the blood, his life, that comes into us, the Spirit making alive the very breath of God. John records Jesus' prayer before his death. John 17, I pray for them, Jesus says. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, because they are yours. Everything I have is yours, Heavenly Father. Everything you have is mine, and I am glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I was protecting them by your name that you have given me. I guarded them and not one of them is lost, except the son of destruction, so that the scripture may be fulfilled. Now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy completed in them. I have given them your word. The world hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I am not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them so that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I pray not only for these, but also for those who believe in me through their word. May they all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me, so that they may be made completely one, that the world may know you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Leave it as it is written. The good Lutheran answer for all of this has always been just yes. It just is. He just is. That is his name. I am. These are the mysteries that we partake of, that we walk in, that we are in the midst of, even if we do not yet understand. Imbibe and live. Eat and be filled. Hear and learn of him. Listen and believe. Be washed and rise up to eternal life. Dwell in, yes. The word of Christ dwell richly among you, in all wisdom and teaching, admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is what the Spirit enacts in us as he hovers once again over this new creation, his body, his church, you and I. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.